Dear friends, welcome to worship today. It is the third Sunday in Lent. Today is a communion Sunday. If you need to pause this recording to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice, go ahead and do that now. As we do on communion Sundays, we say the land acknowledgement, giving thanks that we are free to worship here. Let's hear this land acknowledgement. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in the call to worship for today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord meets us here where we are. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Death is defeated. Abundant life is ours. Let us worship Jesus and rejoice together. And let's light the Christ candle, remembering that he came, he lived, he taught, he died, but was resurrected on that third day and is and always will be the light of the world, our Messiah, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Loving God, we come to you in worship and thanksgiving. You are greater than we can understand. Open our eyes that we may see the wonderful truths you have shown to us in Jesus. You are more loving than our hearts can respond to. Help us to give ourselves to you in worship so that we learn what you want us to be. You are wiser than we can know. Still our minds as we worship you so that we can understand the things you are saying to us. Loving God, in Jesus, you chose to come to the world in humility. You chose the path the world saw as foolish. You used what the world considered weak. We worship and adore you. Amen. Let us pray the prayer of confession together, seeking God's mercy and grace. Merciful God, we confess our bewilderment over the presence of any wisdom at all in such a dreadful act as the crucifixion of Jesus. Each year, as we hear the story again, we wonder, why did it have to happen? Yet, when we know the outcome of the crucifixion, we realize that it was an act of powerful and sacrificial love, and that in the end, good did triumph over evil. Life defeated death. So forgive us, God, when we become so influenced by the wisdom of the world that we demand signs and seek intellectual certainty as proof of your existence. Forgive us when we get caught up in the quest for achievement and power, and forget that Jesus' power was made perfect in weakness. Forgive our reluctance to proclaim with our lips and our lives that the crucified Christ is Lord of our lives, and help us to empty ourselves of all that hinders our proclamation of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, in our reading today, we will hear these words. God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Friends, our forgiveness, our redemption, our potential for holiness was made possible through the cross, as foolish and as unbelievable as that may seem. So I declare to you that in Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. Friends, it's a Communion Sunday, as you can see, and so as is our practice, we will confess our faith together by saying one of our creeds. This month, we're saying together the new creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the Church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the vault of the sky reveals God's handiwork. One day speaks to another, and night shares its knowledge with night. And this without speech or language. Their voices are not heard, but their sound goes out to all the lands, their words to the ends of the earth. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from under the canopy, like an athlete eager to run the race. It is rising at one end of the sky. It runs its course to the other, and there is nothing that is hidden from its heat. God's law is perfect, refreshing the soul. God's instruction is sure, giving wisdom to the simple. God's precepts are right, rejoicing the heart. God's commandment is pure, giving light to the eyes. God's fear is clean, enduring forever. God's judgments are true, every one of them righteous. More desirable than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, pure honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned, for in keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern unwitting sins? O cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep your servant also from presumptuous sins, lest they get the better of me. Then shall I be clean and innocent of great offense, that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my Redeemer. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 18 through to 25. This is the English Standard Version. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Quite a number of years ago, during the week leading up to Easter, we did something here that was called the Journey to the Cross. We set up 12 stations around the church that people could move through individually and at their own pace. As you did that, you had the opportunity to reflect on an aspect of Jesus' own journey to the cross and how that might speak to you in your life. It was a pretty moving experience for the people that took part in it. And arguably, it culminated at the last station, which was a large 8-foot-long rough wooden cross that was laying right here on the steps leading up to the chancel. At that station, there was also a hammer and some nails, some little pieces of paper, and some pencils. And people had the chance when they got to that station to think about something that they might want to leave at the cross with Jesus. It may have been something they were seeking healing for, or something they just wanted to leave behind in their lives. Maybe something they knew that they needed his help with, or something that they deeply regretted and were seeking his grace for. It was really up to each individual what they wrote, if they wrote anything at all. But those that did write something were able to take the hammer and nail their slip of paper to the cross. Now, it might sound strange, maybe even foolish to some, but there can be something really powerful to doing something tangible, something physical like this, as a way of kind of acting out, living out something that you're trying to do more deeply within yourself. Now, for obvious reasons, I guess I was thinking a lot about that journey to the cross last week as I was preparing the sermon for that Sunday. If you were with us, you will remember that we were talking about the way of the cross. And we heard again Jesus' call for us to choose that way by being willing to lay down some of the things we want. Nail them to the cross, so to speak, so that God can show us what he wants for us. Well, as we move into today's reading, I want to ask you just to hold on to that idea of nailing things to the cross, of leaving them with Jesus for him to do with as he knows best. Today, we have these words before us about wisdom and foolishness, words that were written by the Apostle Paul to the church he had founded in Corinth. It's quite a reading. By his own admission, Paul may not have been an especially impressive speaker, but man, could he communicate through his writing. In just the way he put this part of the letter together, Paul gives you this sense of swaying, vacillating back and forth and back and forth between wisdom and foolishness and wisdom and foolishness, so much so that it kind of becomes hard to know which is which and even which way's up. which is brilliant because it's actually an important part of what Paul is trying to say. So this is a pretty remarkable piece of writing, both in terms of its content and its style. So today, as we make our way through Lent, let's listen to these words, these things he's saying, for how they might help us further along in this way of the cross. And we'll begin, as is wise, especially when you're reading part of a letter, with a little context. When he wrote this letter, Paul was concerned that the Corinthian church had really wandered from the way of the cross that he'd taught them about. Since he'd left them, the church had divided into factions, as people picked from their favorite from a number of leaders and threw their support behind their favorite and not behind the others. Now, I'll leave the sermon for how unhealthy divisions like that are for another day, but for today, it is helpful for us to think about what was actually drawing people to one leader or another. You need to know that in ancient Greece, people went to listen to talented orators, speakers, for entertainment, in the same kind of way that we actually now today might go to a concert or a play. These were speakers who could make impressive philosophical arguments. They'd masterfully employ various tools of ancient rhetoric to persuade their audiences of what they were saying, and hence to really ultimately persuade them of their wisdom. Renowned orators were actually the rock stars in ancient Greece, kind of like Taylor Swift today, only not so much. And Corinth was an affluent city with lots of varying cultural and philosophical influences. It's been said that on every street in Corinth, you could meet a so-called wise man, somebody speaking about his own solutions to humanity's problems. It's kind of, you kind of imagine philosophers busking on every corner. Needless to say, good orators were easy to find in Corinth. And apparently within the church there as well. And these talented speakers, they were garnering their own followings. Well, Paul reminds them here that for those who follow Jesus, the standards are different. Where the Greek people admired impressive wisdom, and the Jewish people were impressed with signs of God's supernatural power, Jesus' people, we look for something else. We look to the cross. Others might look at the crucifixion and think it was the height of foolishness and weakness. But we look at what Jesus did on the cross, and we see that it was actually the clearest display of God's love and power that's ever been seen. And as strange as it might sound coming from a preacher, God didn't actually save anyone through well-crafted and delivered arguments or through spectacular displays of divine capability. God was saving people when Jesus, who was fully capable of all of those things, when he laid them down and let himself be nailed to a cross. He was saving us and this world through an act that all of the world would look at and think was the height of foolishness, but was actually steeped in a wisdom so deep and so perfect that we can never entirely grasp it. So with that, once again, how do these words of Paul that we've heard today guide us further as we seek to walk our own way of the cross? Well, they seem to be a clear reminder to us not to put all of our trust into things that seem to us to be wise, whether it's the wise course of action or the wise decision, but instead to open ourselves to the possibility that something that the world sees as foolish might actually be the wisest way, God's way, for us. This passage actually rings with something of the same message that we hear in Jesus' words in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus turned to God and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to children." Jesus rejoices because when it comes to the ways of God, it's only those who come with the simplicity of a child who are really able to recognize the truth. Whereas those who are considered wise and smart in the eyes of the world, they often miss it. Here and in other places, we hear Jesus suggesting that it would be better for us to give up trying to work everything out for ourselves and instead become more like children. Children who just trust that God knows what he's doing because he's God, and then just also naturally trust him to do it. So back to that question, how do these words of Paul guide us? Well, let's think about this idea again of nailing things we need to leave behind to the cross. Is there something in your life that you think God might be encouraging you to trust him with? Something he might be inviting you to nail to the cross? Maybe it's something you've been trying to figure out or control for yourself. Something that seems to just make sense to you, seems actually wise when you think about it, but still seems to be a bit of a struggle. As foolish as this idea may seem to you, is it possible that God actually might be inviting you to let go of your efforts to control it? And instead lay it down, nailing it to the cross and trusting God to move in it or not, as he wisely knows is best. I certainly know that I have a list of these things in my own life. They kept coming to me as I was preparing this message. And so with God's grace and God's love, I'm going to try over these next few weeks to try to recognize those things. And then I'm going to start small, but I'm going to try to lay at least one of them down, to leave it with Jesus, to do with it as he wills. Perhaps you'll join me in that. Amen. Amen.
My song is love unknown, the Savior's love for me, love to the loveless shown that they might love me. For who am I that in my place my Lord should take frail flesh and death, and love the victory won in this his parting breath. For with the cry that all is done, vain darkness fell before the sun.
Let us pray. Compassionate God, when we step back from looking at our world as it is now, we can see that it is in deep distress. With the upheaval of climate change that impacts all of us, authoritarian regimes that are increasingly dominant over democratic institutions, people all over the world polarizing into divisiveness, and disease impacting more and more of us. And in the midst of these increasing challenges, help us to stop and look and remind ourselves that there are spots of your love that are quietly moving ahead in peacefulness, respect, and repair. That is happening in our communities and in the larger world. Thank you for always being with us, no matter our circumstances. We ask for your help in maintaining the anchor of your love in every part of our service that is happening with our volunteers here at St. Stephen's and in our community. We ask for spiritual protection over all people who serve you. When we think of you, we know that we can trust you deeply, that your kindness is always there, as is your love. But our doubts get in the way. And when those doubts are foremost, we struggle with the concept of being children of God, beloved even in our sin. Help us, Lord, to open our hearts, to trust you deeply in all situations, to feel nourished by your love in spite of ourselves. May we accept your embrace of peace. We ask for your help in increasing our compassion for others, particularly in difficult situations. Help us to find the words that give others hope as well as comfort. Open our ears and hearts to recognizing the nudges that you offer. May we respond quickly to these nudges. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, welcome to the Lord's table. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. With joy we praise you, gracious God, for you have created heaven and earth, made us in your image, and kept covenant with us, even when we fell into sin. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whose grace we may triumph over temptation, be more fervent in prayer, and be more generous in love. Therefore, we join our voices with all the saints and angels and the whole creation to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He took upon himself the weight of our sin and carried the burden of our guilt. He shared our life in every way, and though tempted, was sinless to the end. Baptized as your own, he went willingly to his death, and by your power was raised to new life. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Praise to you, Lord Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, that our sharing of them may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ, and that we may become one in him. May his coming in glory find us ever watchful in prayer, strong in truth and love, and faithful in the breaking of the bread. Then at last, all people will be free, all divisions healed, and with your whole creation we will sing your praise through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, I invite you to consume the elements in the places where you are. Now, having eaten at the Lord's table, let us say together our prayer after communion. Loving God, we thank you that you fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
We thank you again for the ways you give to the mission and work of God here at St. Stephen's. Would you pray with me over the gifts given this week? Gracious God, bless and transform all that we offer. Our faltering steps, our brokenness, our hope, our risking, our hearts, that your covenant may be written on our hearts and we may be a blessed and transformed covenant people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Friends, there are those who doubt what we do. They think that it is purely a product of overactive imaginations. Who but the foolish would look at barren ground and imagine food for all, see past desolate ground and believe it'll become an oasis? Who would not be stopped by war but would still continue to live for a day when there will be peace and reach deep into the world's fear in the prayer that God's love will dissolve all those fears and bring life? Well, if faith is the terrain of the deluded, then may each one of you leave here with the faith of the fools who have loved this world since its beginning and are determined to live for its redemption until it comes. Amen.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me, Lord, I need to meet you there. Waters, healing mercy flows with freedom from despair. I am going. precious Jesus, I am ready to surrender every care. Take my hand now, lead me closer. Lord, I need to meet you there.
To the river I am going, bringing sins I cannot bear. Come and cleanse me, come forgive me.
Jesus longs to meet you there.